This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everybody, welcome to the final episode of Equal Agenda Season 2. No, I'm actually so upset. I'm Hazel and I'm already crying.
Oh my God. I'm Master and Hazel's going to make me cry.
I'm Javina and we're absolutely going through it. It's our last episode.
Yeah, what was your guys' favourite?
Well, I actually have three. My first one, I would say, would be the Women's Anatomy and Autonomy episode. That is a really big passion of mine, of talking about women's reproductive rights. It's something that I studied in university, and it's so beautiful to be actually share it with the world and realize that it is a big issue and there are other people that see it as an issue as well. My second episode would be Influences Shaking and Shaping Our Culture. That one was an unexpected episode to be something that I was passionate about. Like, it just never really crossed my mind until I did research on Andrew Tate and did research on algorithms that I found out that it is so important to talk about social media because it's such a big part of our lives. And then the third episode would be Womanhood episode that we just did with Isabel and Molly. I think it was just so beautiful to be in a room full of
passion,
like heaps of conversations about how we feel as women, how it affects us, and that we all have our own identity. And it's okay to have your own identity and represent it your own way. Mm. So those were my three favourites.
I can't say I have a favourite. I'm just going to list off the ones that I'm thinking about. Like you, I really enjoyed Influences Shaping and Shaking Culture. I think the conclusions that we drew were super insightful, and I'm really, really proud of how that one turned out. I'm also really, really proud of our timing episode where we talked about the inconsistencies between our biological and our social time clock. And all of my friends and family who have listened to that episode have always said, you're so right. 35, 30 is the middle of your life. And you know, I think that's so cool that we've said something that has really resonated with people and made people go, oh, wow, you're so valid. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Womanhood episode that aired last week as well. I think it was incredibly inspiring to sit in a room full of women so passionate, like you said, about fixing the gap between genders in terms of future and what society looks like for women. It motivated me that we will see positive change.
I think we can all agree that the Womanhood episode was so lovely. Like, honestly, we all felt kind of gooey just talking and like being able to connect to each other, like all five of us in that room. Yeah, other than that one, I mean, honestly, I'm so happy with all of the episodes. I will admit that episode 6 about women's interests was my baby. It was really like freeing to talk about the anxieties that we had about just having interest and just, you know, like, I'm really passionate about womanhood as a performance. So, you know, that episode meant a lot to me. And yeah, honestly, I really enjoyed all of the episodes. But I think that and the womanhood episode and the influencers one was, I really liked the passion that bled through in that one as well. That was a beautiful episode.
Yeah. I'm just so proud of all of it, to be honest.
Right.
Well, I'm just blown away that, like, there are other people that want to talk about these issues and there's people that are out there listening to us right now and have similar passions to us and want to make a change. Because sometimes you feel so, like, alone and think that this is such a bigger issue than you. But doing these small steps and taking small steps actually make a huge difference. And I'm walking away from this feeling a little bit better and a little bit more motivated to fight even harder because I know there are other people out there fighting with me.
Yeah, it has definitely further fueled this passion inside of me to continue doing similar work to the work that we're doing here today. I think it was my calling in a very cliche way. I think I am put on this earth by whatever or whoever to fix social injustices. I think that is where I feel most purposeful in life.
I think it's so wonderful to have this outlet for us to be able to, like, I feel like sometimes it's really hard to feel like we're doing something. And, you know, like being able to talk to each other, talk on a platform and bring up all these issues and also at the same time celebrate ourselves, celebrate womanhood. It's been so good to have this. And like, this is going to be on the internet for as long as the internet is around. Mm. So it feels like we're doing something permanent, something lasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the biggest setback and learning point? Although we had some beautiful moments, it comes with its consequences.
Let us tell you about episode four.
Episode four was influences shaping and shaking culture. And I'm going to put my hand up and say I got a little bit too passionate about Andrew Tate. And I may have called him
Choice words?
A mofo. But like extend mofo. On live radio. And then we shortly got an email saying that's not okay. So the episode that airs on the radio now has bleeping instead of the word mofo. But the real stuff is still on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So if you want to feel something, go listen to that one. But that was a bit of a learning point for us. There was a bit of editing confusion. It slipped under the editing process and we kind of didn't realize it was still in there. And then
it was a sobering experience because, you know, it was just a good reminder that our words have impact. And we've been talking about like the positive impact we're having by bringing these issues up. But we also have to be responsible with what we're saying.
Yeah.
The sentiment may remain the same, to be honest, but we have learned to be more careful in our language and our editing and making sure that nothing like that happens, you know?
We were just really passionate.
Yeah, we will now, well, from now on, we will call Andrew Tate a mofo in our own time and not when there's a microphone in front of us. So, yeah, we thought we'd just share that little funny moment because... So
tips for aspiring podcast hosts, read the New Zealand broadcast standards.
Unless you're going on after 10 p.m.
But on that note, definitely editing. I would say editing is like probably one of the biggest kind of challenges that we've faced during this process.
100%.
Yeah, really, it's really hard to time manage something that you don't know how big or small it's going to be.
Yes.
Like, you know it's going to be a big task, but you don't know whether you're going... the website's going to crash, like Audacity's going to crash for you.
Yeah.
Or whether there's this like one section that you're trying to scramble words for, trying to make it sound smooth and transitional. You could get lucky and it could just all work out perfectly, but 99% of the time, that's not the case.
Yeah, some episodes take a lot longer to edit than other ones. And I think we're getting more efficient at our editing as time went on. But you could spend anywhere from like 6 hours to 40 hours editing an episode. How do you time manage that when you don't know what you're getting into until you're sitting there?
Especially as students as well. We have our other work to do, you know?
Yeah, we definitely had to learn adaptability and flexibility and balance. Definitely balance. And that leads to the marketing as well. Like, I think we didn't put enough time into marketing, like, on the earlier section of the season rather than the later. Like, we only started investing time into marketing maybe from episode 4 onwards. And then we realized, well, it's all true and well if we put 100% into the podcast editing, but it's actually important that people listen to the podcast and know that it exists. So that was a big thing for us, is learning that you needed to balance roles as well.
Definitely, I agree. Like, I've always kind of, from the start of the podcast, I've especially wanted to like lock in on the marketing, but admittedly, when you just, it's the kind of thing where if this was our only job, I probably would have been spending all my time trying to figure out ways to market. But you know, it's like we had to balance this and editing and other stuff is a lot. So I would say I wouldn't really start promoting the podcast even after we're already done with like the initial releases, because it's still out there on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Free FM.
Yeah, and everything that we're saying is still going to be relevant for a very long time.
Exactly.
I think it was actually really nice having a community to help us support us with marketing. Like, it was actually really nice to have a community from somebody from the YWCA that's able to help and support us in terms of marketing. Because I know personally for me, I haven't had to... I don't know anything about marketing or promotional work or how to do it or how to go about it. So it was really nice to have somebody there to help us and kind of give us that little extra nudge after episode 4 to be like, this is it's time to lock in on marketing.
Yeah.
It's time to start pushing something.
Yeah, showing your work. Like,
yeah.
And finding a way to like sell it, because yeah, that's what we're doing. Like, we there's so many high points in this podcast that we'd love to highlight and promote.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, we feel the pressure of exposure just by the sheer fact that we are on radio 3 times a week.
Yeah, I'm speaking for you guys, but I think I had a little bit of imposter syndrome coming into this.
Yeah, definitely. I was so like anxious, and it was like, heavy on my mind. I almost didn't sign up for this because I was so petrified of being on the radio. But now it just, I've like gotten over that, and I've realized that it actually is a bigger picture of it all. Mm. I'm like fighting for something that's bigger than me.
Yeah.
So it actually turned out to be really beautiful. But I felt literally like out of body experience of being like, oh my God, I'm on the radio.
Like, who am I to be sitting here speaking as a voice for a woman? Like, I hope I don't muck it up.
Right.
Like, I felt quite, I had a bit of imposter syndrome. But then I think we've sat here and we've got more and more comfortable as like episodes have rolled out. And now I feel like we were good. This feels right now.
I think I felt it in the middle, actually. I kind of came in being like, oh, this is the perfect job for me. Perfect. But then I was kind of like, oh, the more I kind of thought about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so responsible for like, like we're talking about our own issues, but I'm like, are my issues trivial? Or am I doing enough to send like a good, profound message? It comes back to like this responsibility that we've been talking about throughout the podcast, like this kind of responsibility we feel that we are representing women. And honestly, it feels like women often we feel like we are representing our entire group when we hop on a platform and we're like given a chance to speak, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, everything we've said is valid. I feel very proud of the work that we've done.
Yeah.
I think this just ties back to the whole idea of like if a woman has a platform, they need to be put on a pedestal. Like they need to represent every single woman. But it's like that's not realistic. Like, no.
Yeah, well, like, they have to be perfect and they can't say any wrong and they can't invalidate anyone. And it has to fully capture the essence of like everyone, you know, in regards to being disclusive. And it's like, but if a man sat and did a random interview, he doesn't have that pressure speak for the whole of man. Like, it's just, it's a lot, and especially because we're also quite young as well, I think we might look back on this in 10, 15 years, and then maybe we won't agree with some of the ideas that we have. So it is a lot of pressure to put something out on the internet forever.
I agree. I think the way to kind of make peace with it is that, like, I want to see this as, like, a time capsule.
Yeah.
I want to see this little time capsule of, like, how we feel in the present. I think that's why I'm really happy that this was more of a personal, conversational podcast. Or I think that, at the very least, we are already mean enough to ourselves.
Mm.
And this is something I want to look back on, not with too much critique, like, but more so as, like, oh, I've developed from this, you know, like, it's like, oh, for me, it's like looking at like old art or old lyrics I wrote. I'm like, this is so like, I've developed from that. And yeah, I think for me anyway, it helps kind of take a bit of that pressure off where I think we've been responsible and thoughtful about it. But at the end of the day, we're not going to encompass like a whole profound, big idea of womanhood because we've kind of just got here.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that where I am right now in my life is like quite a pivotal point because I'm going to start like a real working job. I graduated at the end of this year, so I think it's going to be really interesting to look back on this and see who I was sitting here now on my last months of study compared to, you know, what if the next time I re-listen to our podcast is when I have 2 kids and I'm educating them on gender equality. Like, isn't that going to be like...
That makes me so excited.
I just think it's like so important to like understand that this is our perspective right now. This is in the moment. This is how I feel about this topic right now. And yes, it could change. Yes, it could develop.
Society
could change for better or for worse.
Hopefully for better.
But I think it's so wholesome in a way to, like, as you said, look at this as a time capsule of getting a little peace into 20-year-old Martine's mind when I'm 40 years old, you know?
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, 40 years
old. Yeah, and we're like, I'm so grateful to have this platform. And I don't want to say privileged, but I really am privileged. Like, this is such an honor.
I think it's okay to consider it a privilege. Like, you know, like, a lot of people everywhere are, like, silenced and not really able to talk about the things that we're luckily able to talk about. We want to use this for good.
Mm.
We're not going to speak for other people, obviously, but it's like, I hope to encourage people who have the chance to speak, to speak.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got that opportunity. And hopefully there's a season 3 that you guys can listen to with other...
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a season following us, and you can hear... Well, we don't know the direction that next season will take, if there is one, but I'm sure you'll hear more experiences and gather more insight into, like, a more well-rounded definition of womanhood, if you want to say it like that.
Mm.
Yeah, so it will be interesting to see where this direction of Equal Agenda takes us.
On the topic of having more diverse voices with a platform to speak, honestly, I kind of wish that I've talked about, like, my specific experiences, but I kind of brought up, like, the intersectionality. I brought it up a little in our intro episode, and I also brought it up again in womanhood.
Yeah.
It felt really fulfilling to bring that up, and I think I kind of just, like, it's not so much that I didn't feel comfortable speaking about it, but I just didn't quite find, like, a right place to fit it. And in retrospect, I think that's something that I feel like is a really important topic to bring up. So I almost wish I had talked about it more, because I kind of take for granted how much of my personal identity as a woman is also, like, just filled with the fact that there's multiple layers to my identity that makes me a minority in multiple ways. But at the same time, it's also a difference that creates, like, these experiences that I wouldn't trade for the world. I love being a Filipino woman. It's awesome. And I just want to remind our listeners again that women are not a monolith. We have so many different experiences. Like, even just the three of us alone, we have so many different experiences. We might not necessarily capture yours, but I want you to think about your own experiences, to reflect on it, and maybe talk about it to someone, because sometimes talking can be very healing for so many people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is important to acknowledge that no woman's experience of womanhood will be the same due to so many other identities that make us one. You know, I think, you know, I can't sit here as a white woman and say that I understand what you're experiencing as a Filipino woman. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that, and we're not playing oppression Olympics. We're not saying that anyone's experience is all worse or better or harder. We're just saying that they're different, and it ultimately shapes who we are as women.
It's so cool to see how we've progressed. Like, I mean, I thought we were already clicking. We already had the ideas and, like, the eloquence to express them in the first episode, but there was, like, that ultimate kind of stiffness to it that I think is gone now.
Yeah, it's lifted. Because we've just created such a safe and comfortable environment for all of us to speak on our experiences. As we were saying in last week's episode, you need a safe environment to flourish and to present yourself truly, I suppose.
I'm just so proud of us.
Yeah.
Like, we've come so far.
We're so grown up. I feel like we've matured so much. Like, just doing this.
Well, and I think it was really cool that, you know, we had these personal experiences that we want to talk about, but then we also had to bring in, like, the research element to it to, like, justify that our experience also encapsulated other women's experiences. So to actually have gained some foundational knowledge about gender inequality and the experiences of women has really shaped my understanding better, like, given me a further
in-depth knowledge.
Like, yeah. A nuanced kind of...
Yeah, it's a nuanced kind of understanding of it. You know, And to be able to talk about this confidently, not from my own personal experience, but from theoretical knowledge, it's bloody empowering.
I fully agree. It's like kind of, I think it's important to have those personal anecdotes and also just like have the validation of like studies and theories that like you kind of put those together and it's like, well, yes, it's easier to gaslight yourself when you don't have that evidence, I suppose.
Yeah.
And like it doesn't make your experience any less valid, but it is validating to know that you're not alone.
This is a problem. Gender inequality still exists in this world.
There is active history being recorded. Yes.
We have proof of this. It's not just women dragging some social injustice out that happened 100 years ago. We're still experiencing this and you cannot take that away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can prove that not from our own personal experiences, but also theoretical research.
Mm. But it all ties back to personal experiences. To really understand the depth of society, you talk to people.
Yeah.
Talk to them how their life was. Like, I know when you talk to your grandparents, like, how did you guys first meet? Like, those type of stories is what creates our society because we all are our own individual people. And these stories come together to create a bigger picture. It all connects to each other. It's all LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's a bloody circle.
Yeah. We're recycling theory while creating experiences to create theory again.
Makes sense. Yeah, exactly. It's a cycle. And it just comes to show the importance, again, of social connections in recording history. Another validating thing for me was we've talked about how the algorithm is like high key listening to us. Each time we do an episode, I would go on TikTok and like the content that I'm getting is like really relevant. It's like people's anecdotes or theoretical breakdowns of the very things you were talking about. And I'm like, well, this is validating. See, like it's multiple people talking about, like we're not just pulling.
Yeah.
It's not like we would ever release an episode of things we just pulled out of nowhere, but we're pulling from experiences that resonate, and ultimately that's kind of the goal. Like in my head, whenever someone listens to our episode, there's like this gigantic circular sound wave just resonating throughout, you know. And it's like ideally the world listens and hears all of these experiences that unite us as women,
you know. The moment it is out there on the media, it's on everyone's For You pages, it's on everyone's reels, it's talked about in the news, it's reflected in kids' TV shows and adult TV shows, that is the moment that it becomes normalized. So it's just getting to that point, and I feel incredibly proud. We are putting out one more piece of media that contributes to pushing for gender equality. I know that we're just one piece of media, but we are actively contributing, and I think that's so cool.
Well, I think that's just ultimately what this season in particular was about, was bringing our own personal experiences in for the fight of feminism and being able to talk about myself and like in the most non-selfish way of actually experiencing it, feeling kind of validated for the way that I feel.
Hmm.
And I hope other people can listen to that and be like, you and me, boo. Yeah. We got this. Like, we got this together. Let's fight for it together.
Well, maybe, like, that's what feminism is going to look like now. We've seen anger and we've seen protests, and I think we should keep doing that. I think that's amazing. But maybe it's more about conversation with men and telling our stories and trying to get them to see us as equal through sympathy. Maybe that will be like one wave.
The new wave of feminism.
Maybe it'll be the new wave of feminism, is that we are emotionally connecting with people. Maybe we, like, as women, we need to say, he dehumanizes me. He strips me from any person that I feel I am. Is that what we need to do?
Personal voices, I think, like really bringing up our tone and bringing up how loud we're speaking, but using the emotional side of it.
Yeah.
So I think, pulling on heartstrings, like connecting and intertwining to come together to fight for equality.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that affects men as well. I think people need to feel validated in human emotions again.
Yeah.
Like, we need to understand that, yes, facts are very, very important, but there's inherent value in emotions and resonating with each other and connecting with each other through how we feel.
Each contributing statistic is a person with an experience. As much as we can summarize things with numbers, we have a study of 100,000 people who said this happened to them or they felt blah, 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 blah. That's 100,000 people with stories. And I think sometimes in some situations, maybe when it comes to gender inequality, there's a lot more value on those 100,000 people's experiences. And maybe that is stronger in fighting for gender equality and making change than the stat that those 100,000 people contribute towards.
Yeah, well, there's like voice in a stat. Instead of shining light on those stats, let's shine light on those voices because maybe they will have a more impact. And maybe we can take a new direction to actually get to the end result that we're wanting if we try a new way.
If you want to see our journey throughout making this podcast, we've documented a bit of it on @EqualAgendaPod on TikTok, and you'll see a little bit on @YWCAHamiltonNZ as well on Instagram. Overall, I'm really proud of the work that we've done, and we hope that our experiences have given you awareness as well as uplifted you guys in some way. My hope is that we've given you a new perspective or a new food for thought.
Yeah, and maybe change some behaviors that were perhaps going against our fight for equality. For all the women out there and identifying women out there, we hope that we've brought you confidence to be who you are and confidence to speak freely as a woman. And we hope that one day that will be the case for all women who live in New Zealand and the world.
I just want to say a huge, big thank you. Thank you so much for listening to our voices. Thank you so much for listening to our experiences and just joining us across our journey from 14 weeks ago when we started this all the way up until today. Like, it's been such a beautiful journey. I hope our listeners find their own voice and make some change and really grow and understand yourselves and fight towards the ultimate goal of gender equality and build that bridge.
It's been such an incredible experience. I'm walking away from this, and I'm sure you guys are too, feeling so empowered. I'm ready to tackle this. Things are changing. Because we said so.
And we're going to keep making that change.
Yeah.
I'm starting with the middle. Thank you so much for joining us on our final episode.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
No, never stop recording. We're just going to keep talking, okay?
That's going to be a years long recording.
We really appreciate all your love and support. Hazel's looking at me like she's about to cry. So
I think
I feel
she's
like
going to
wrap
crying.
This up. So thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
For the last time.
Oh my God, don't say that.
No, kidding. Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.